Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us, at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of the Phantasm, and continuing on to Justice League, Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. We'll get to the first episode first.
Yeah, starters don't mean to go on.
Indeed. Okie dokie. So, 3, 2, 1, and I'm just frightened off the dog.
That's it, man.
Yes, it is. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering BattleBots, episode 12 of season 2.0. And this should have been the last fucking episode, because this episode is fucking brilliant.
Yes, and I love how you said it like Dracula, because it is like Halloween.
Oh, so it is! Yes, Halloween is later this week.
It's
yes!
episode 2.0!
Yeah.
Delete!
As I said, genuinely, this is... I cannot comprehend how this isn't episode 14.
Yes.
Because this is how you finish your show.
I know, like, the fact that you had, like, arguably two of the best build-ups to two of the best matches for the giant nuts, and then you go into the next episode, then it's just not anywhere near as good.
But anyway, we will start, as we mean to go on, with the first semi-final in the lightweight tournament.
What?
Because, you see, one other thing that's different is this episode is actually sensibly formatted in that we go semi-final, semi-final, final, semi-final, yep. Semi-final, final. You maybe could have done, like, the four semi-finals and then the two finals, but other than that, I can't see anything wrong with this format as well. What also...
It gave every episode a bit of purpose, definitely. Like,
and not only
in that,
that
sort of way.
I don't know what happened. The presenter started taking this episode seriously as well.
Ah, who'd have thunk it?
Like, it's actually presented as if it's a genuine sports event. And that's actually the best part of this, is you actually sit and go, no, this is... Effectively, this is how I see the modern BattleBots.
Yeah. Like, I think it's because, obviously, that there are two championships on the line on this show, so they kind of need to up their game and make things a bit more serious, and And not that I've taken any notes, but I seem to remember, like, even the Sklar brothers and all that, like, when they're kind of interviewing people, like, they seem to have, like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, they seem to be taking their role a lot more seriously as well.
Yeah. So, the first match is Ziggo versus Beta Raptor. Full body spinner against piece of styrofoam on a stick.
Hmm.
I take it this is meant to be some sort of anti-spinning device? Like, is it the beginnings of entanglement weapons?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of assuming, was like, it's definitely like a buffer kind of thing to try and maybe take the first couple of hits and then Ziggo may like sort of crap out, which it kind of did eventually, but granted, it was not because of the styrofoam.
Yeah. So... lightweight division battle, and right off the gate, this is exactly what I want to see from lightweights. Two robots just going absolutely hell for leather. At first, it looks like Beta Raptor is at least taking the hits, even if it's not necessarily coming out unscathed. And then there's just this moment where I can't remember if it's a Killsaw catches it or Ziggo catches it, and you just see something go in one of the tank tracks.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of this, like, throughout, like, the kind of rest of the season, I suppose. Like, the way that, like, there was a lot of spinning robot in a circle, and it's not being counted out kind of thing.
Yeah. And what does happen is there is this beautiful hit that Ziggo gets. And you actually see, Beta Raptor, and it bounces off the floor, bounces again onto the Killsaw, and then bounces onto the ground, and is pretty much dead.
It kind of goes sailing like a frisbee, in a way that was just like, yow, 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 yow.
Though, at this point, it becomes clear that not everything is right in Ziggo's world.
No, it is not. Because it just, like, I think it kind of hits a Killsaw and then just stops. Like, it still moves, but it's not no longer spinning. And obviously that is quite the horror when it comes to a full body spinner. It's like, uh-oh. Like, we have nothing. We have nothing after this stops spinning.
Because, I mean, the full body spinner is effectively its own armor as well, in terms of I'm spinning, which means you can't come near me.
If you come near me, you're going to get thrown across the battle box.
Absolutely. Ziggo starts to inch Beta Raptor to the pulverizer.
The crowd goes absolutely insane for it.
Yeah, oh, the crowd is brilliant in this episode as well.
I think they're quite good for the rest of the season because of some of the reactions that they give to at least one certain robot.
Yeah, absolutely. And Beta Raptor is basically, it's counted out before it can be pulverized.
Which may be the best thing for it, to be honest, because you don't know what that pulverizer is going to do. You don't know if it's going to hit your robot or just yeet itself halfway across the box.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So,
it's not the first time, it's not the last time.
Indeed. So we have the second lightweight semi-final. And it is Backlash, the giant spinning disc, well, giant for a lightweight, versus Toe Crusher, which is Overkill's little brother.
Oh, there is a lot of those, like, I've realized through this season.
And
especially when you watch the Rumbles, like, as we will later on, you realize there is a lot of two-wheeled hammerbots.
And not only that, I think the difference is Toe Crusher, look, Team Cool Robots have done this with a couple of the robots. It's the sort of idea of, it's an axle bot with a wedge.
Yes.
And I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know that it's necessarily the most effective, but it's certainly, the principle is solid enough, and it gives them a, you know, It does give them an effective axe weapon, so...
I feel like it's good in a way for, like, if something happens to the axe, because, as we've seen with these kind of robots, the axe sort of shaft...
Yeah.
Shaft.
That's what happens kinda, to
Boulder. Isn't exactly very strong, so it sometimes they tend to snap. So yeah. At least, you know, Toe Crusher still technically has another weapon. It has the wedge. It can... get in under robots using that. So I guess it's kind of one of those things of it's kind of there as a backup weapon just in case something else happens.
Yeah. So it's the team that made the super heavyweight champion versus the defending lightweight champion. We get to see Jim Smutowski's stereo kit, which is a little... he's like... It's like 20 decibels away. It's like 10, 20 decibels away from being able to kill a man.
Oh, that's just how I listen to music on a daily basis, to be honest with you. Like this is why I am very, very deaf.
Yes.
Well, what was it you said like during that interview? It was something along the lines of, oh, if I didn't build robots, I would just be spending it all on like entertainment systems and that kind of thing.
That's a later... videos. Well, that's one of the many filler segments in later episodes.
Yeah. I feel like all these filler segments blend together at some point.
Yeah. So, one note I have right before the start of the match is Backlash's blade looks wonky before the match starts.
Yeah. And then it gets bumped and it gets progressively more wonky as the match goes on.
Well, basically, Toe Crusher figures out that disc isn't at full health. I wonder what happens if I bang my head against it multiple times.
I'm going to break your disc with my face.
And it actually does. It's actually... it works. The plan works. It goes, yes,
it does. Does.
And from that point, you always see the moment of Backlash going, oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Like this would be the point in the match where after the blade dies, if I was the driver of Backlash, I would start using the back kind of wedge. Like, yeah. It's not meant to be a wedge, but it's what you've got left. Yeah, start using that. Like, but it continues to go in head first with its wonky broken disc, and you know, like absolutely incredible driving from Toe Crusher, because it finally gets in under Backlash.
And it does. It is completely Toe Crusher's match at this point. It slams Backlash into the wall several times. And then there's just this moment of... You actually see it happen. Like, Toe Crusher is kind of gearing up for another ram into the wall. Backlash manages to kind of sneak attack almost. Gets a brilliant push, pushes Toe Crusher into the kill swords, and Toe Crusher starts to freewheel. And it's that moment of kind of, holy shit, they've done it. That is a comeback and a half.
Yeah, like literally the last note I have is insane finish when Backlash was clearly losing this fight.
Oh yeah, it was Backlash had lost, it was done, it was over, and it manages to get the knockout. I mean, it's
because it's Christian
history, but
no, it's not. But probably for the time it might have been.
Oh yeah, it was the best. It was the best that we've seen so far.
I think it's is it Christian Carlberg that's driving Toe Crusher? Like,
yeah.
There's just a shot when Toe Crusher dies, and you just see him just like, well, guess that's that.
Yep.
Like, you see him start putting down his aerial, he just looks so disappointed. And it's just like, oh man, yeah, because you did have this, and your bot just crapped out on you. It was so unfortunate.
So... That gives us a final of Backlash, who is currently sitting with a broken wonky disc, and Ziggo,
uh-huh,
which is sitting with a broken wonky gearbox.
I do have a note of one of the interviews with Jim Spintowski. I'm going to just go with Spintowski because, because I didn't take a note of his name because that is very complicated to try and write down. Yeah, big J Dog. So he kind of mentions like the now well known story of Nightmare is the reason that there's a roof on the battle box now.
Yes.
Because he hit a robot so hard that parts of the robot went up and got caught in, I think it was like netting or something before that it was on top of the box.
Yeah, I think.
And then they were like, huh.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Well, I guess a riff. I guess a riff now.
Yep. And thankfully, Robot Wars had caught on to this before they got, for instance, the Wheelie Big Cheese versus Axel match.
I cannot fucking wait. There are some Robot Wars matches coming up that I'm so excited to chat about just because they're so short. Gravity versus Dan Tonkia, anyone?
Yep. Absolutely. And anyway, we get to...
Hi guys, Alan.
And Chris.
Here with a slight break from the main show. So thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
The final, which is Ziggo versus Backlash. Ziggo is literally getting repairs done as they're being interviewed. I think it's like they've just finished the repair as they're bringing the robot up.
I know. I mean, like, it's still not as bad as that time where Minion was literally being repaired on its way to the battle box.
Yeah.
At the pay-per-view, but it's pretty close to it. What I want to know is, and if anyone listening can provide us with said information, how much time was there between the semi-final matches and the final? Because it kind of goes to show when both of these robots start that, like, they're being clearly repaired, but it takes like all of like one or two bumps, and then both the robots just kind of like, I'm too old.
Yeah, the issue is it's always hard to tell because it's, I assume that it's the same principle as the pay-per-view. You have 2 hours repair time.
Yeah.
But they don't specify. So it is one of the side effects of, because all this is on, I can see why they air stuff on tape delay anyway, but it is that kind of side effect of, because you don't know how long they've had to repair and, you know, when, and also that other thing of, for instance, has Backlash maybe had less time to repair? If, you know, if Ziggo was still repairing, would Backlash, if the matches had been the other way around, could Backlash have been repaired in time? Because Backlash is in real rough shape at the start of the match.
Yeah, it barely even moves at the start. It's kind of like, wake up, robot. And wake up, tiny robot, come on.
It takes a good few seconds before the weapon spins up as well.
Well, it's funny that you kind of mentioned this, to be honest, because see, the closest thing that we have to what we're talking about is that Vegas show that BattleBots done before last season started, which was live.
Yeah.
And that is the closest equivalent that we have to, you know, live robot combat. Because I think the pay-per-view was recorded and then put on pay-per-view. So I think, like, genuinely that re-Mars or something like that, like, everybody will know what I'm talking about anyway, but, like, that was, obviously, that was live on Twitch or wherever the fuck it was aired, and there was like this kind of thing. It was kind of like a mini tournament in a way, where there was definitely robots that fought more than once. And it was kind of that thing of like the whole stream was maybe around like 3.5 to 4 hours, and in that span of time there was only about 5 fights. And it's kind of one of these things of it goes to show like how much filler was kind of needed to fill in all that sort of time between like repairs and stuff like that.
I mean, that's the one thing, for instance, that was good about what I'm sure Robots Live is similar, but with Extreme Robots, they have like, you know, outside teams that have 2 robots, it's all kind of, so if Eruption has a match, it's one match. If Ignition has a match, you know, so for instance, Eruption and Ignition were in separate matches on the same show. TR3 only fought once. Nessie, I think it was Manta rather than Aftershock at the show I was at. And those robots would only have one match, and it would be, well, I, their format was a bit different in terms of it was like, this is Team Eruption, and they've got, like, it's their team, and a bunch of other teams are on their team. So there's still a tournament.
So it's kind of like, almost like a faction warfare kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting. I would like to get more information on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, like we'll get to the end of the match where Ziggo just gets like the absolute best hit possible.
Yep.
On Backlash,
and
just sends up.
Well, it's actually because you see Ziggo's gearbox starts to stop again, and so
it kind of gets to the point where again just like in the previous match where. As I mentioned, when a full-bodied spinning robot dies, it's like, uh-oh. Because he doesn't have any pushing power written, but it's just that, I think it just kind of hit Backlash on that kind of turn, because as you watch Backlash, it always kind of turns and off-balances itself.
Yeah, it's not...
Because of the... height because of the spinning disc. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like Ziggo just kind of came in right at that exact moment where Backlash was just like slightly off balanced, and then it rammed it. And I'm surprised that this is the first time that Backlash has been flipped, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of that fact, because it is always a very off centered robot.
Yeah,
like, I'm surprised that it hasn't turned so quickly that it just knocked itself over at one point.
But whatever happens, Ziggo is able to get the victory. Backlash is knocked out through a fairly dominant performance for Ziggo. I don't know how much of that's because Backlash really wasn't up to fighting shape.
Oh yeah, like both of these robots were literally limping into this match.
Yeah, and we get the presentation for Team Ziggo of the Golden Nut. Or I think it's a wee silver nut in the lightweights. And you can tell we're in Vegas because Showgirls!
Yeah! High kick.
Which isn't all awkward for one team that is very obviously a husband and wife later on.
No, it's totally fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
So we get to the heavyweights. And if lightweights was good,
which it was,
the heavyweights is insane.
Yes.
This is the three best matches, I think, in the entire tournament.
I think this is the three best matches of BattleBots that we've watched so far.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if a certain YouTube channel was to do like 100 best BattleBots matches like they've done with Robot Wars, I would argue that these three matches would definitely be like up there in terms of the top 20.
Absolutely. So we start with the grudge match of grudge matches as Voltronic, which has been customized specifically to fight its opponent, Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, he didn't do the accent this time?
I'm not a performing monkey. It'll come later. We get an interview with Stephen Felk. who is a rather intense dude.
A little bit, yeah.
And this is an intense match because Voltronic is absolutely desperate to get Vlad over.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really cool. I don't think it's in this match. No, it's not. It's later on. But it is very interesting to finally get to see the Vlad the Impaler Self-Writer, but obviously we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But obviously, like as you're saying that, like that this is the thing of like Voltronic is trying so hard to get Vlad over, and it's I don't know, I can't help but feel as if it's just
Vlad's spikes just have the ground clearance advantage.
Uh huh. And it does get under Vlad like a good couple of times, and then like Vlad the Impaler's one problem is it cannot stay away from the kill saws. It goes over the kill saws so many times in a match. It's unbelievable how like not more damage is done to that robot in a fight. Like just with them, it almost seems as it's like almost like a moth to a flame kind of way that the amount of times that Vlad goes into a kill saw.
And yeah, absolutely. And we get to, so we're probably about a minute to go in the fight. It's very even. Then Vlad gets Voltronic over.
Oh, expert driver.
And there is, it's that moment of, you actually see Vlad, well, you see Gage make the calculations and go, okay, if we get them facing the wall, they can't self-right. And then just to be sure, we're going to slam them into the wall twice. And it's like a bull lining up the charge.
Oh yeah, like literally even to the point where like Vlad is sitting there and you kind of see it like juttering back and forth like eh, eh, eh,
yeah.
Eh. Like it's almost like kind of like dragging its feet as it's about to charge.
Yeah, from and it's a brutal fight, but credit Vlad gets it.
See, to be honest, watching Voltronic try and self-right, I don't think it would have been able to self-right even if it was in the middle of the arena because of the arm only seems to go up so far, and look.
The only way it can do it, I get the impression of it's a bit like the one I'd compare it to is the original Chaos. I think what probably happens is it tips itself over enough, or the Big Cheese is another example, enough that if it is able to do it in one solid motion, it has enough. But because it wasn't able to do it like that, it didn't have enough to self-right, just.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. Yeah, we spoke about the Big Cheese and that match, and like, literally, like, I've never seen a flipper arm or a self-righter. Like, I actively look as if it's going out of its way to try harder than it was ever meant to do. And like, yeah, but when you look at Voltronic here, it's kind of the same thing of like it tried so hard, and but also I'm pretty sure like was Voltronic not the robot that had the kind of wheel coverings that came away so it could technically drive upside down? Maybe that was the old version and they got rid of that version.
Yeah, I think that's a previous version of the machine. Yeah, unfortunately.
I remember, like, ages ago, like, when we were covering, like, the very, very early stages of Robot Wars, like, that was part of it. I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you mean. Hey, guys. Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a podcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. We move on to the last remaining non-flipper in the heavyweight tournament, Frenzy, versus the super low to the ground Biohazard. Mm-hmm. Every time I look at Biohazard, I go, that is insanely close to the ground. In terms of just the whole design.
I don't want to say a perfect robot, but is Biohazard arguably the closest to a perfect robot?
I think it is of the only issue I think it has. The only issue I think it has is I think that it lacks a self-righting mechanism. But other than that, I can't see a fault with it in terms of it's well armored. It's because it's low to the ground. There are several robots that just can't, that they have no effect on it.
Yeah.
One of the few robots that actually could have been a bogey opponent is Frenzy, because Frenzy, obviously, the way it's designed, if anything, Biohazard is the perfect target for it.
I think that's what they kind of said going into this fight was, yeah, that's the perfect kind of robot for us because it's nice and flat and we can bash it to bits. But when it goes, like, It's all well and good saying that going into the fight, but in practice, when you actually get into the fight, you realize that Frenzy's hammer is far, far too long, and anytime it swings, it almost just completely goes over Biohazard. It gets the occasional hit in.
It's that because it's so big, it takes a while to go overhead, and yeah, when you've got an opponent as quick and as well-driven as Biohazard is, I mean, it's the only other robot I can really compare it to is Panic Attack, of sort of that combination of great driving, difficult
and
to
strategy.
Get underneath. Yeah, I actually wonder if Panic Attack, or concerned, if Panic Attack had aped more from Biohazard's design.
But yeah, potentially.
Could it have been more effective? Yeah.
And then, like, because definitely the skirts kind of thing is definitely, like, a kind of unintentional homage to Biohazard. Yeah. Because I can't think of many other robots that kind of have the skirts the way that, like, Biohazard or Panic Attack do.
Davis has put some photos up of the internals of the first Panic Attack, and
I was looking at those and I was like, man, like, fucking original Panic Attack was so basic on the inside, it's incredible.
Yeah, so this match, actually, I know we say all three matches are good. This is probably the weakest of the three in terms of it doesn't really get up to full speed. And it's one of those two robots that are so close, and because Frenzy's not able to get a decisive blow.
Yeah, like any kind of blow that Frenzy ends up getting, it's always like kind of a grazing sort of hit. Yeah, a glancing blow, yes.
Biohazard does manage to slam Frenzy into the wall a few times, but Frenzy is able to take it. And all that happens is Frenzy just gets clumsy one time.
Yeah, it gets caught by a Kelsa.
And
that's what
just the wrong angle, yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, the wrong angle or the perfect angle, depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But, and then just for some reason, that was also the exact same time where the hammer just stops working. Because
yeah.
we've seen Frenzy a million times. We know, like, he can pop right back over with that massive hammer of his. And just the one time where it really needed to be done was the one time he just didn't want to do it.
That brings us on to our main event of the evening. I think this is a rematch.
It is. I'm pretty sure this was one of the first matches of the first round of the heavyweight championship last year.
It was, which is bizarre to me. How are you going to make sure that they avoided each other?
And then this is also a rematch of original Robot Wars, because remember this was the match with the controversy of Vlad got, I think he got flipped over by Biohazard, and then the match stopped, and then Vlad the Impaler then came and continued to attack Biohazard, flipping it over, allowing Biohazard to self-right. And like we got into that whole conversation of that was a bit sketchy and a bit, you know, bad loser kind of thing from Vlad the Impaler, but we got that awesome moment of Biohazard doing its self-rating. Yeah. And also we mentioned, like, during the previous fight on BattleBots Season 1 was Biohazard can't do that anymore because of the skirts.
Yeah.
Because Biohazard didn't have the skirts in the original match, which is what allowed it to plop itself back over.
Yeah.
But the skirts prevented it in the last season match that they had. So there's a lot of history between these two.
A lot of experience. Probably the two best driven, best designed robots in BattleBots this season.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would potentially say in history, to be honest with you.
I actually would genuinely be interested to see either of these robots fight in modern day competition, particularly Biohazard.
Granted, if you just put Biohazard of now in BattleBots, it could probably do reasonably well, but I think, like, see if you took the Biohazard kind of design and maybe modernized it exactly. See, like, put like a Hydra or a Bronco style flipper on it, you know, one of those big pssst ones that just pops really quickly, like, but like, and then kept Biohazard kind of as is, but just kind of changed the flipper. Biohazard, I reckon, could go really far.
So we get to, so this match early on, it's two robots really fighting for position. Biohazard very early on gets Vlad the Impaler over, and
yes,
the self-righter is something else. The amount of power in that self-righter.
I know, like, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Of it's the first time we got to see it, and because I've been looking at that the whole time, and like, go on, somebody flip him. Somebody flip him, because I want to see it. And this added a lot of drama to the match, especially, like, in the later stages when, you know, Biohazard took Vlad under the pulverizer,
so Biohazard gets Vlad over. Vlad comes back over. It's almost like Vlad, and I know, I always love when you can actually tell the personalities of robots. Vlad gets angry.
Yeah.
And it does. It slams Biohazard into the wall multiple times. Biohazard gets Vlad back over. Again, Vlad gets self-right. And then you see this moment of Biohazard almost going, pulverizer.
I now know what I need to do.
And it does. You actually see it kind of, and it's so targeted. It's like, we need to destroy the self-righter. And it
break
does.
The arm.
And it
the
does.
Arm.
It breaks it. Yeah.
And it's so perfect as well. Like the way that Biohazard like lays up Vlad the Impaler like right under the pulverizer, just enough that it just, because it kind of works on it, like it holds it there, and then you see the pulverizer kind of going dink, 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 and it's just with every shot you see that the arm just starts to get more and more and more crooked.
Yeah.
And then as you say, like kind of like Vlad seems to get more aggressive, and I think it's kind of the driver like literally going into panic mode where it's just like, okay, if he flips us, we are absolutely done here. So I need to stay on the offensive and try my absolute best. And even like to the point where I need to knock Biohazard out now.
And it goes to a judge's decision. It's a hell of a match. I'll actually put it there. I think it's the best match we've seen so far.
Yes. Oh, it was excellent.
And
excellent.
I can only think of two matches I've enjoyed. Sorry, three matches I can enjoy more, or I've enjoyed more than this one, and one of them was last year. So that kind of puts in perspective how good I think this match was.
I think it kind of goes to show in the way that how much that I was talking about the fact that these two have history, like a lot of history over the past couple of years, that going into this, in fact, the first note I had was the big rematch, and you talk about a big fight feel going into this match, and so it absolutely delivered in terms of that. And you know, when the match was done on the other side, like it was I'm almost speechless in like in a way of, like this match was that good. It lived up to expectations. That was the kind of term that I was looking for there.
And it was, I still went to, and it was the most frustrating moment of watching this episode and going, we have three episodes to watch after this.
Yep.
And there is no way they're topping this. I mean, this is your WrestleMania main event. This is The Rock and Cena. This is Ali Foreman. This is your big match. This is the one, if anything, you're actually almost better having the semifinals in a separate episode and building this match to be the last match of your show.
I am genuinely surprised that they didn't have the last episode being the final matches of every weight class. How much better would that last episode be where you're getting four championship matches? Like every match is going to be the biggest, the best match of each weight category. And then, you know what, maybe you could have just stuck the Rumbles on like the after episodes, like the last episode, in terms of they called it the wrap up show anyway.
Yeah.
So,
but I think that's either that or whatever they do, but in terms of this is putting The Rock and Hogan on second last.
Yeah.
That is literally the level we're talking. Anyway, let's not talk about wrestling.
That's for another podcast.
Indeed. So that is the end of episode 12.
An absolute banger of an episode.
An absolute banger of an episode. With completely clear order of exactly what's at stake, what's on the line, proper big fight feel. This is the, wow, that's a great barbecue. Why does the rest of the series not look like this?
Which is the perfect.
You could do the right thing. Why don't you do this every time? Why not Mortis Nightmare? What? We'll get to why one of the semifinals doesn't get shown, because that's, well, we'll get to that in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
But it's just, it baffles me. It genuinely baffles me.
Why, when you can pull off a great sort of, because I mean, like, the whole episode was very well paced and everything. Everybody took it seriously. And all that kind of jazz. And it's like, right, okay, why couldn't you do that more often? Yeah. Like, why can't every episode be like this? Because, like, you know, but every like previous episode has been like elimination rounds. It's not like that any of these matches were just for fun. Like, there were qualifying matches to get to this point. And so why now is it that everyone is taking this seriously? I don't even think we actually properly talked about the end of this match. Because it went to a judges' decision. It was a 27-18 decision,
which is fairly close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Again, not to gush over this match anymore, but it was a very well deserved sort of decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Biohazard wins, and as you say, that this is the moment where the husband and wife come up in between the showgirls, and the wife is kind of like, "Don't you dare look at them."
Anyway, we will be back next week as the super heavyweights go to war.
War. War. War.